A popular Christian song writes this: everyone has a God-sized hole in their heart. And it sounds good from the beginning. It sounds like he's saying something to the effect of everyone has this longing for God. Everyone in their hearts has this place that only God can fill. And to an extent, he's right. But there's a problem with that. We can fill that with whatever we want. I can fill that with an image of God that's so transcendent, he has no bearing in my life. I can fill it with a God that's so imminent that I feel his love and his power and I feel good about myself and everything's wonderful. I can fill it with a fictitious God, one that doesn't really exist, so that that hole becomes something that I want it to be, and I make God in my own image. I would rather propose this, as St. Augustine said, "My heart is restless until it rests in you." It's not that there's a hole in our heart that we need God to fill. It's that there's a deep longing in our heart, something that's so akin to our soul itself that it comes from its very maker, that God made our souls with such a longing that they long for him, that we desire in our hearts so much for God himself. The challenge will be, what do we do with that? How do we do something with that longing? What does it become? Because think of it this way. God is kind of hard to understand. God the Father, we can think of as this guy up in the sky with his big white beard and like super intelligent or wise or whatever not. But that's not really who God the Father is. And yet when you think about him as this person like a father who cares for us, protects us, guides us, shepherds us along the way, it becomes a little bit more understandable. When you think of God as Jesus, it's easier because he's human like us. He has a face, he has eyes, he has nose, he did the things we did. He's relatable in that way. He's relatable on so many different levels because he is human like us. But what about the Holy Spirit? You know, that's the one we struggle with the most. How do we understand the Holy Spirit? It's kind of this ethereal force that's there and does its thing, and we can't really figure out what to do with it. How do we understand the Holy Spirit? Well, in the movie The Shack, they depict the Holy Spirit as this Native American woman that kind of wanders through the film. She has this almost unearthly quality to her, as she's almost like a spirit that just kind of wafts in between things and has this different sense compared to everyone else. Well, that doesn't help us either, because it makes the Holy Spirit sound very weird and almost unintelligible to us. Well, in today's readings, we have various different descriptions of the Holy Spirit to guide our attention to understand who this Spirit is. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have fire. The Holy Spirit is this fire that descended upon the apostles. And that fire is this kind of animating force, this bold thing that can burn through things. It purifies. It has energy and vitality. This is the Holy Spirit, this fiery mentality that burns within us and gives us an energy and excitement. In the same vein, the Holy Spirit was compared to a driving wind. And we're all very familiar with the power of wind. In the summer, a nice, gentle breeze can be calming and refreshing on a hot day. But in our winter months, the power of the wind can be so forceful as to knock down trees and topple semis. This powerful force, the invisible force. Something I also like about the wind is because we can't see it. It's this invisible force that has such power behind it. But yet, if you're paying attention very carefully to our first reading, you'll realize that there wasn't a wind at Pentecost. There was the sound of a driving wind, which is even more startling to us, that the Holy Spirit wasn't a force they could feel. It was almost a force they understood without really grasping it, the driving sound of wind when there was no wind, which makes it even more perplexing. What is this Holy Spirit? As we move to our gospel, we have a new image, the image of breath, that Jesus breathed on the disciples. And this very life force that came from him gave life to the disciples. If we move back to the book of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he breathed into him. His very life emanated from him and filled their lungs. This was the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit entered us and became our very souls, became our being, because God breathed into us. In the same way, Jesus breathing on the disciples brought them new life, gave them new energy, gave them a new creation. As I've described all these different images, it really didn't help us. We're still perplexed by the mystery of the Holy Spirit, which is where we're left in a way too, because we can think of all these images, but the reality is the Holy Spirit is something we can't grasp. We don't want to, because we want something to be beyond our imagination. This is really unsettling to us. We like to take the chaotic world we have and collapse it down to order. We like to take all the unfortunate things that give us anxiety and bring them into a place where we can grasp them. Some of the ways we do this, and I'm talking to you sports fans out there, most of you who are sports fans have some certain way to which you help your team to win. Either you have a special jersey or a special hat you wear on every game to make sure that you can do whatever they can to make sure they win. My sister would be mad at me for telling this story, but when she was watching one of her teams play, my mom would walk in, and every time she walked into the room, they'd be losing. So she banished my mom from the room so that her team would win. We do these things to try and make the world intelligible, to change the world around us to conform to what we want it to be. Another example is the phrase, knock on wood. By knocking on trees, it's not going to help you a whole lot. Neither will walking under ladders or opening umbrellas in rooms or saying Murphy's Law when something goes the opposite of what we expect. This is our way of trying to take the chaos of the world and make order to it. Well, I have good news for you. The Holy Spirit already does that. The Holy Spirit already takes the complexities of our world and makes them intelligible. He already takes the chaos and orders it. This is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. If we're allowing ourselves to step back for a moment and not have to make it intelligible, not have to make it ordered, we'll realize that it's already ordered. It already makes sense. We just have to see it in a different way. And this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. This is all well and good, but we come to a very fundamental question. How do we grasp the Holy Spirit in our life? That's what we want. We don't want some intelligible understanding. We want to say, how does it conform to my life? Well, the Holy Spirit interacts with us on two ways. The first phase is that God knows a very particular way that each and every one of us comes to know Him. There is one specific way in which each of us will come to encounter God from the very beginning. For me, He shuts off my mind. For those of you who know me, my mind does not stop working. It is only by the grace of the Holy Spirit that I have a moment of peace. So for that reason, I know that when my mind shuts off, God has done something. But everyone has their own way. It can be the voice of a friend. It can be an inner voice that we hear. Some people are perplexed by their emotions, that they have this strong emotional response when God wants their attention. Everyone has that one specific way in which they first encounter the true and living God, in which they come to know God is real, He is here with me, and He has a point for me, a will for me. After that, it gets much more complicated. So after that first initial reaction, when we know that God is there, then He starts doing all these crazy things because He wants us to pay attention at every moment in any particular situation. It can be a way He plays with the light, that He shines light on us in a specific moment. It can be a beautiful sunset. The sun sets every day, but only certain ones do we pay attention to. It could be the voice of a friend that was so startling at that moment we paid attention. It could be an inner voice that comes up every so often, and we go, ah, there He is. It could be our emotions that peak at really weird times, and we go, huh, that doesn't make sense. I should not be crying right now. But in every one of these moments, it's the Holy Spirit saying, watch for me, listen for me. I'm here. I need you to pay attention. And it's not that I'm going to make it fit your worldview. You're going to fit my worldview. And that's why we know it's truly the Spirit. When we start to listen and are attentive to what the Spirit can do, then things start to change. Things start to unfold in ways that are wonderful and profound, where peace radiates from our lives, joy fills our hearts and souls, and then we become something different. As we hear in the letter to the Galatians, the part we wanted to ignore but couldn't, that part of all the sins that we get stuck on, well, St. Paul pairs that with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That, yeah, we struggle. Yeah, we fail. Yeah, we do all these things. But yet, although all these things are struggles in our lives, things that we do because we want to, the Holy Spirit is still there. And He's guiding us to experience these gifts. The gift of peace, that we may have this longing for Him. The gift of joy, that we may not worry about things. the gift of self-control, that we may order our lives in accordance with God, the gift of kindness, that people matter in our lives and we change our lives because of them. All these gifts are movement of the Spirit, as the Spirit transforms our hearts, minds, and souls and brings them into conformity with God. This is our goal. Our goal is to experience the Holy Spirit. Our goal is to know His paths and routes, to see what He does in our lives, that we may be people who radiate joy, that know peace, that come to have self-control, that come to know kindness, that these gifts may pervade our lives and give us a new sense of God's action, so that we may speak with the same words as St. Augustine, "My heart is restless until it rests in you."